The following is a home program on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 38, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on June 2nd, 2009, in Rabang, Malaysia.
So tonight, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 4, text number 38.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Nahi jnanena sadrisham
pavitram miha vidyate
tat svayam yoga samsiddha. Kalinatmani Vindati. Nahi Jnane Na Sadrisham Pavitram Miha Vidyate Tat Svayam Yoga Samsiddha. Kalinatmani Vindati.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who becomes accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. And this knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service, and when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, the knowledge and peace, this knowledge and peace, culminate in Krishna consciousness. This is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam
parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha.
So, everyone is looking for happiness. Isn't it a fact? Yeah. Everyone wants to be happy. So, why is it so difficult to find happiness? Do you know why it is so difficult to find happiness? Because we are looking in the wrong place, you see. If you want to find happiness successfully, if you want to actually find happiness, then you must look for happiness in that place where happiness actually exists. If you want to find water, should you go to the reservoir of water to get water? Or should you go to the desert for the water? You understand? If you want water, go to that place where there is water. And then you will get unlimited water. But if you go to that place where there is no water, how can you expect to get water? You see? So, we want actual happiness. Then we must go to that place where happiness actually exists. So what is that place? That actually is a state of consciousness. It's not a physical location. That's the good news. You don't have to buy a ticket to go there. You simply have to adjust your consciousness. And then you can always live in that place. Wherever you are, you will be in that place. So what is that consciousness, that state of mind that enables one to always be happy? That I will describe to you so you can understand it perfectly and implement the technique for always living in that place. Here is the secret. Don't try to be the enjoyer. Try it instead to be the servant. Instead of trying to get enjoyment, you see, try to give enjoyment. That's the key. The more we try to get enjoyment, the more we will suffer. But, because that's greedy, it's selfish. But the more we try to give enjoyment, by giving service, to that extent we will enjoy. So we have to find that place where we can give service unlimitedly. That's the secret. We may try to totally dedicate ourselves to serving someone in this world, but that person may leave us, or they may die. You see? So our service becomes frustrated. But if we can serve the Supreme Person, if we can serve God, Krishna, you see, Vishnu, the Supreme Person, if we can, instead of trying to serve a temporary relationship in this world, if we can instead serve that Supreme Person, in that service we will never find any end. That service can go on increasing unlimitedly. And in that service, one will derive unlimited happiness. Do you understand these points? Unlimited happiness. So that type of service to the Supreme Person, that is called devotional service. It is also one of the authorized yoga systems given in the Vedas. It is called bhakti yoga. There are so many yoga systems, you know. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, hatha yoga, kundalini yoga, this yoga, that yoga. But this yoga, bhakti, the yoga of devotion, it is described by Krishna, who is the supreme authority of yoga. Yoginam abhisarvesham madgatena tadatmana shadhavan bhajate omang samayukta tamo mataha. He says of all the yogis, the one who abides in me with great faith, thinking of me always within himself, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So this type of yoga, of dedicating ourselves, that putting ourselves into that service mood to the Supreme Person, to God, the source of all existence. Instead of trying to take enjoyment, try to give enjoyment to that Supreme Person. The result is that you become unlimitedly happy, unlimitedly peaceful, and nothing can ever stop you. You may say, but I have so many duties. I have to serve my wife, I have to serve my kids, I have to serve my parents, my brothers, my sisters, I have to serve my boss at work. I mean, come on, what are you talking about, serving God? Where's the time for such a thing? One may object, you see. I have to go to school, I have to serve my teachers, I got my homework, I got so many things. What are you talking about, serving God? Maybe for an hour or once a week when I go to the temple, and that's about it. Other than that, who has time to even think about it? You see, that argument can be made. Did Arjuna go to the temple to serve God? I ask you that question. Did Arjuna have to go to the temple to serve God? No, he didn't go to the temple. He wanted to go to the temple. Get me off this battlefield. Get me a temple somewhere. I want to go to the temple. I don't want to be on this battlefield. Krishna said, no, you can't go to the temple. You have to stay here on this chariot and you fight this battle. Is he? So don't tell me, you only have an hour a week to go to the temple, so you can't devote everything to the Supreme Person. I won't buy it. It's not a valid excuse. If you want to achieve the supreme happiness, then you must follow the pathway chalked out by Sri Arjuna. He is the perfect follower of Bhagavad Gita. And if you will follow in the footsteps of Sri Arjuna, you will also be perfect follower of Bhagavad Gita. And you will attain the supreme happiness, paramam nirvanam. You see, the Buddhists are very interested in nirvana, becoming free from all the sufferings of material existence. But their nirvana is inferior quality, according to Vedic wisdom. The nirvana of bhakti yoga, of service to the Supreme Person, is called nirvana vilambitani, that which minimizes the value of Buddhistic nirvana. It is also called paramam nirvanam, the supreme nirvana. So that state of supreme nirvana, which minimizes the value of the voidistic nirvana of the Buddhists, you see, that can be achieved by anyone. By a businessman, by a politician, by a warrior, by a student, by a housewife, by a husband. I don't care what you are, what your position is. You can achieve the supreme state of consciousness without changing your position in the society. You stay where you are right now. but learn how to be in the same mood as Arjuna was. And then you can achieve it. So what is the mood of Arjuna?
Karpanya dosho pahatasvabhava pricham mitang dharma samudha cheta yachreyansyan nishchitam bruhitan me shishyashtehang shadimam tvam prapanam.
That is the seventh verse in chapter number 2 of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is showing the perfect mood to become a recipient of this highest happiness. He speaks to Krishna. He says, now I have lost all, I'm confused about duty, and I have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple, and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. This is the mood. If you will humble yourself before the spiritual master, Krishna, the original spiritual master, or his representative, if Krishna is not physically present before you, his representative, the bona fide spiritual master. If you will humble yourself before Krishna or the bona fide spiritual master, and take guidance and instruction from them on how to conduct your duty in a way which is pleasing to God, whether you do it as a businessman, a worker, a housewife, a student, whatever you may be, how to conduct your duty in a way which pleases the Supreme Person, you see, then you will achieve the same what is described in this verse, 438 of the Bhagavad Gita. There is nothing more sublime than transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who becomes accomplished in the practice of devotional service relishes this knowledge within himself in due course of time. So you can relish this greatest understanding and consciousness called Krishna consciousness at every minute. You simply have to become expert in the science known as Bhakti Yoga or Krishna consciousness. How to connect every thought, every word, and every deed with that Supreme Person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It requires training and it requires practice. It's like if somebody wants to learn how to play the guitar. You can't just pick it up and start playing. It will sound terrible. No one will want to hear your guitar playing. But if you practice under the guidance of an expert guitarist, you see, an expert guitar teacher, you take training and guidance from the guitar teacher, and you can become an expert guitar player, and people go, wow, he can really play the guitar, fantastic, you see. So, in the same way that one can become a really fantastic guitar player, you see, you can become an expert practitioner of the science known as Bhakti Yoga. And Krishna will go, wow, you're really good at this. And he will bestow unlimited mercy upon you. In other words, you have to please Krishna by your mood of devotion. And that devotion is expressed in all ways, in the way you deal with your wife, in the way you deal with your kids, in the way you deal with your job, in the way you deal with your government, the way you deal with your family members and your friends, the way you deal with the animals, the way you deal with the plants, the way you deal with the little ant crawling on the floor. It applies to everything. That person who is expert in Bhakti Yoga, he applies it to everything at every minute in his life. And he becomes perfect in everything. He becomes a sadhu, a great saint. It doesn't matter if he's a sannyasi or grihastha. It doesn't matter. Some of the greatest saints, they are grihastha. They are married men. You don't have to be a sannyasi to become a great saint. You simply have to see everything as the property of Krishna. That this is not my house.
You see, this house belongs to Krishna. This is not my wife. She is the property of Krishna. This is not my husband. He is the property of Krishna. To see Krishna as the owner, is this artificial? No. Krishna declares directly in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text number 29. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shatamrichyati. He says, that person who understands me to be the supreme enjoyer, the owner of everything and the best friend of all living entities, can alone achieve peace and nobody else. So do you want peace? Do you want peace? This is what you have to do to get it. You have to follow the instructions of Krishna. He says if you want peace, you must do these three things. You must see that I own everything, therefore everything is for my enjoyment, and you must see me as the best friend of all living beings. That means you have no better friend than Krishna. You would say, why is Krishna my friend? What did Krishna ever do for me? Why should I think that he's my friend? I thought he was busy with all of his girlfriends. I had no idea. How can I say he's my friend? I thought he was distracted by all those beautiful gopi girls. How can I think that Krishna is my friend, my best friend? That is described in the Katha Upanishad.
Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kamam.
That means there is one supreme eternal, nityo, amongst the plural eternals, nityanam. There is one singular conscious being, chetano, amongst the plural, chetanas, I mean to say, amongst the plural conscious beings, chetananam. And what is the difference between the nityo and the nityanam, and then chetanas and the chetananam? The difference is eko, that one, yo vidadati kaman. He's feeding everybody. Krishna is actually feeding you. You see. Don't think that your job is actually putting food on the table. You see, that I'm working a job to give me some money and that's why I'm able to eat. Can you eat money? Even if it's ringgit? Ringgit? Even if you have 100 ringgit note, can you eat it? Can you make a salad out of it, put some salt and pepper, some lemon juice, and some olive oil, make a nice salad out of 100 ringgit note? No. It's completely indigestible. You see. You can't eat that. So what is sustaining you? Is your money sustaining you? No. Can you throw some money on the soil and get a nice dragon fruit as a result? Can you throw some coins in the dirt and get mangoes? No. That is all coming by the grace of God. Everything that you need to be happy and healthy, it is all coming by God's grace. It is not coming by money. We are fooled in society thinking that we need money to live. It is a cheating, actually. Money is not required. We utilize it because everyone uses it. That's all right. But money is not a necessity of life. The necessities of life, they are given by God. You see, sunshine, rain, moonshine, earth, cotton, silk, fruits, vegetables, the cow who gives us the milk, you see, the wood, the stones for building houses, temples. These are all given by God. These are natural gifts. So man comes in the middle and he says, this is mine, and if you want it, you have to give me some money. It's cheating. Actually, it's all God's property. Why should I have to give money for what belongs to my father? Just like you children growing up in your father's house, do you have to pay money to your father to eat? Do any of our parents charge the kids money for their meal? No, parents don't charge the kids money. My dear son, now there'll be 25 ringgits for breakfast. Put it over here in the cash register. Will the parents think of doing that? Of course not. Because they love the children. So God does not charge us any money. This is man coming in the middle and saying, I am the Lord, you want this, you have to come, you have to pay, and you want to get some money, you got to work in my factory like a dog 12 hours a day. You see? This is cheating. God has given everything. If we simply have to glorify the Lord, that's how we pay the Lord. He doesn't want us, he doesn't say you have to work in a factory 12 hours a day to get a few beans on the table. He says, simply glorify me, chant Hare Krishna, you see. Sing and dance in ecstasy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And I will send all your eatables. Just chant and I will send everything. That is God's program. But man has messed it up. He has made a mess out of this earth was formerly like a paradise, you know that? It was formerly like a paradise. But now man has turned it into a hell. You see. This is a hell. So our Krishna consciousness movement, we want to teach you how to become fully reconnected with God. How we can, and if you will do this, then this whole planet will be turned into a paradise once again. You see. People can live healthy, happy lives, long, long lives without all these diseases, which are simply a result of our sin. They think by scientific research we'll be able to stop the disease, but that's foolishness. These diseases are karma for pop. That's all. Because I don't care how many scientific discoveries you make to counteract the diseases, as long as you go on committing sin, you will get more and more diseases. Like this AIDS was a new disease. You see? It's a new disease. And if they cure it, another one will come. It's coming from as a reaction for our sins. That's how we're getting all these diseases. If you want to stop disease, stop sinning. Stop killing the cow. Stop killing the children in the womb through abortion. You see? Stop these sinful activities. Stop it. And you'll see that naturally these disease problem goes away. People will live long, healthy, happy lives all over the world. We won't need to spend millions of dollars on these hospitals. Cancer, this thing, that thing. This is simply due to pop, sinful activities. These diseases are coming. So we have made this world into like a hell because instead of putting God in the center, we want to put ourselves in the center. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we want to put God back in the center. That will make us happy. That will make everyone happy. The whole, even the animals will become happy. If we can put God back in the center. So I'm very happy you all have come tonight to participate in this nice Krishna consciousness program. So this is your house. And where is your husband? This is... Yes? And you are the man of the house? He's in the back?
He left the body.
Oh, he left the body. So he's here in spirit. So we'd like to thank your husband who is here with us in spirit and yourself for so nicely making this program available for all of us to glorify Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. And I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes. What is his question? I'm deaf, so come and put it. Tell me in the ear.
He wants to know how Prabhu met Srila Prabhupada. And
how did I meet Srila Prabhupada? Actually, I'm meeting Prabhupada right now. I'm meeting Srila Prabhupada at every minute. there are two presences of the spiritual master. One is called Vapu, which is his physical form, and the other is called Vani, which is his vibrational form, his teaching, you see. Srila Prabhupada always told us that the Vani, the vibrational presence of the Guru, is more important than the Vapu, the physical form. So, I actually met Prabhupada and surrendered myself fully to him, even before I met him in his Vapu manifestation. Back in 1971, I was searching for spiritual perfection. I was studying the Bible at the time, and I understood Lord Jesus Christ, he was a perfectly self-realized yogi. And I wanted to also become like that. So I was studying Bible, trying to figure out what made Christ a perfectly self-realized yogi, bhakti yogi, you see. And one morning in my study of the Bible, I found this verse. Lord Jesus says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, my dear Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, not what I want to do. So I knew then what I had to do to become a perfectly self-realized yogi. I had to just do what God wanted me to do, not what I wanted to do. But I had one problem, Prabhu. That problem is I didn't know what God wanted me to do. That was a big problem. How I can execute God's will when I don't know what it is for me, you see. But, so I, for a while I was bewildered what to do, what to do, what to do. But one day I realized, well, you're not able to hear God revealing His will to you. But one thing is that God can hear you. So I started praying to God that you guide me, my dear Lord, and how I can be your perfect servant. I was praying very, very intensely every day. My dear Lord, please guide me how I can be your perfect servant. So, a representative of Prabhupada, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, you see, Krishna heard my prayer. And he sent one of the dearmost followers of Prabhupada to my town, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. He is a famous disciple of Prabhupada. Krishna sent His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami to my town as an answer to my prayer. And this Vishnu Janaswami, he told me about Prabhupada. He showed me how wonderful it was to be a disciple of Prabhupada by his own example. And I understood that, yes, this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to surrender to His pure devotee, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So I made that decision that yes, from this moment on, now I will simply serve Srila Prabhupada as my eternal spiritual master. So that's when I met him. Now I hadn't even seen him yet. But just by meeting his disciple, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, I met Prabhupada, you understand? By meeting the disciple, because the disciple carried Prabhupada in his heart. By meeting that disciple, I came in direct contact with Prabhupada and I surrendered to him. Prabhupada expanded, he was in the heart of Vishnu Janaswami, and he expanded himself an extra into my heart also. Through Vishnu Janaswami, he expanded into my heart also. And that's how I met him, you see. By the mercy of His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, Prabhupada expanded from his heart into my heart. And I met my spiritual master and I surrendered fully unto him. And then a few months later I met him in the physical form. That was also very nice. But it was the most powerful meeting was when he entered into my heart in Austin, Texas, one morning in the temple. That was the most powerful meeting I had with Prabhupada. Because that's where my relationship became cemented. Just like in ISKCON, we have, you take shelter, right? And then you get Diksha after shelter. I got Prabhupada's shelter at that moment, you see. I got Prabhupada's shelter at that moment when he entered into my heart. And then I had to wait for a few months before I got my diksha. But I got my shelter. The shelter is the real thing, you see. Diksha is simply a reconfirmation of shelter. That's actually. The real essence is shelter. I've surrendered to this great spiritual master. I'm taking his orders, my life and soul. And diksha is just a reconfirmation, an external reconfirmation of the commitment you want already made within the heart. You see. So in this way, I got the opportunity to take shelter of the pure devotee, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And he is still with me now. He is still in my heart. You see. He has accepted me into his heart, and I've accepted him into my heart. It is loving exchange between me and Srila Prabhupada. So in this way, I came into contact with Srila Prabhupada, and now I'm always in his contact. I feel how he is showering his mercy upon me, like torrents of rain in the monsoon season. He is showering torrents of mercy upon me, and I'm trying to reciprocate with his unlimited mercy. Even though I am incompetent in so many ways, I'm trying to somehow reciprocate with that unlimited mercy he's bestowing upon me at every minute. This is called the guru-disciple relationship. Of course, I first saw him at the Ratha Yatra, through the airport actually. In June or July of 1971, he flew into the San Francisco airport and to attend the Ratha Yatra. So I saw him arrive at the airport, and then I got in a car very quickly and got to the Ratha Yatra site before he got there, so I could greet him twice. I greeted him once at the airport, and then we got to the park before he did, Golden Gate Park. I greeted him at the Ratha Yatra site second time. The first word I heard come from Prabhupada's mouth was Jagannath. He quoted one shloka. He got up on Subhadra Devi's cart, and they had a microphone there. And he gave a lecture. He said, Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume. That my dear Lord Jagannath, Lord of the universe, please come to my vision. He gave a very short talk, but it was very, very wonderful. He gave us a very nice hint. He said, every day you're drinking water. Once, twice, thrice, more than that. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious, it is not a difficult job. Simply it requires practice. So this was my first meeting in the physical form. Prabhupada told us that just by drinking water, you can become a pure devotee of Krishna. Does anybody here have a difficulty drinking water? We all drink water. Except tomorrow, many will fast from water, Nirjala Ekadasi. That's an exception. But we drink water every day, you see. So every time you drink water, you remember the Bhagavad Gita verse, Rasoham Apsukonteya. You remember that Krishna says, I am the taste of water, you see. Then immediately become Krishna conscious. Even in your office, you see, they have the water cooler. You get up from your cubicle, you go over for a drink of water, you see. Or you have a bottle there at your desk. Ah, Krishna, you see. In this way. So any other questions? Yes, Vishnupriya Mataji. If we don't have to go to the temple, then why do we have so many temples? Because we're not so fortunate to have Krishna present with us. That's why. Arjuna didn't require to go to the temple because Krishna was standing there on the chariot. His chariot was as good as the temple. If you don't have Krishna standing in front of you, then go to the temple. Because there Krishna is standing on the altar. You see. And you can bow down at his feet. Just like I came in tonight, I bowed down before Shishi Gornitaya. You see. You can bow, go to the temple and bow down and you can pray, "My dear Lord, now I fully surrender myself at your lotus feet. Please guide me in how I can be your pure devotee." Do you pray that way when you go to the temple for darshan? Or do you just have a look at the deities and say, "Please give me a Cadillac"? What is that song? "Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari." You see, is that how we go to the temple in that mood? "Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me." You see, you will not see Krishna. If you go in that mood, you're simply seeing an idol. You're not seeing God. You're simply seeing a statue. That's all you're seeing. But if you will go in the humble mood of a devotee, if you will bow down at the feet, "And my dear Lord, now I fully surrender myself unto you. Please engage me in your eternal service. Please, Krishna, pick me up from this material ocean of birth and death and place me at, right there by, in between your big toe and your the second toe. Put me there in your lotus feet, Lord, and let me stay there forever." If you will pray that way, you see, then you will see God with your own eyes. You will directly see God standing in front of you. You will not see a statue. You will see God Himself standing in front of you. I promise you this. If you will pray in this sincere mood, you will directly see God. You will not see a statue. You will see God Himself standing in front of you. Because your mood is one of surrender, not "give me, give me, give me, give me, give me." So is it difficult to do? No. All you have to do is say it. Try to put your feeling into it and Krishna will help you. All you have to do is say it with sincerity. "My dear Lord, now I surrender your lotus feet. Please engage me in your service." Say those words and try to do it with sincerity and Krishna will help you to make it perfect. Because He sees you're trying. You see. So yes, the temple is necessary if you don't have Krishna standing in front of you like Arjuna did. We have many, many temples all over the world. And we want more and more. We want millions and millions of temples. We want every home also to be a temple, like this home is a temple. We want every home to be a temple, like this home, you see, with Krishna everywhere, you see. So, any other questions? Yes?
What a devotee need to be in order for them to be Krishna? What a devotee need to be to do in order for them to be in Krishna consciousness?
They have to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. You can't just figure it out on your own. Just like to learn guitar, you need a guitar teacher. To become properly situated in Krishna consciousness, you have to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. And he will train you how to do everything correctly. You understand? Guru is required. And we also have the representatives of Guru, the temple leaders, temple president, GBC men. See, they represent Guru. So we have spiritual leaders in our ISKCON movement. Senior devotees, you see, sannyasis, visiting gurus. We have senior devotees who can help us and train us. They are all siksha gurus for us, you see. So we have our initiating guru, and we have other senior devotees who are also gurus for us, who train us how to do everything correctly. We should associate with these senior devotees as much as possible. Our spiritual master and other gurus, we should associate with them as much as possible. Try to render personal service and let them train us how to do everything even more perfectly. You see, in this way, take training from your superiors. This is the key. The children should learn from their devotee parents how to be a proper devotee. The devotees should learn from senior devotees who are more advanced than them how to be properly situated in Krishna consciousness. Does that answer your question?
Apart from that,
Well, you have to follow these rules and regulations. You have to chant at least 16 rounds every day of Hare Krishna Japa Mala. That's the minimum amount of chanting to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. You have to give up sinful activities such as illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, because these destroy Krishna consciousness. If you will follow these rules and regulations and chant at least 16 rounds every day of the Hare Krishna mantra, then you will make spiritual progress in Krishna consciousness. That's a fact. And the Bhagavad Gita is there. Read the Bhagavad Gita. Man manama bhavat bhakto majagji man namaskaru. Mamma vaishashi yukvaivang atmanang matvarayanaha. Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, certainly you will come to me. What does it say in the Narada Pancharatra? It says there, Dikkalad yana vachane Krishna cheto vidaya cha tanmayo bhavati chipram jivo brahmani yojaya. You know that verse? That verse very clearly tells you what you should do. The translation is this. One should one who absorbs his consciousness in my transcendental form, which is all pervading and beyond time and space, becomes fully absorbed in thinking of me, and thus attains the happiness of always being in my association. So you have to always think of the beautiful form of Krishna. You see, that's all pervading and beyond time and space. Always concentrate on that form of Krishna within your heart and within everything. And is there in Goloka Vrindavan. Always fix your mind on that transcendental form, which is all pervading and beyond time and space. And then you'll be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and then Krishna will bless you with his transcendental association at every minute. This is what you have to do, according to Narada Pancharatra. So any other questions? All right, we'll stop here, our discourse, and go on to the next part of the program. So we thank you very much. Raja Vidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Actually, I brought some special mercy for everyone. We have our traveling deities, Shishi Radha Damodar, cared for by Vishnu Priya Manaji. And we have their Maha Prasadam tonight. Enough for everybody to get a little bit, so everyone can come and get their Maha Prasad of Shishi Radha Damodar.